I want you to look in your Bibles to the book of Psalms today. Psalm 9. We'll look at one verse of Scripture and pray, try to preach as the Lord directs our heart today. And I do appreciate the good singing, appreciate these young ladies singing special this morning. What a blessing that is. Amen. Psalm 9. You're will and able stand this morning. And we'll read this verse of Scripture, verse 17. And I want you to pray the Lord to touch me, enable me to preach this morning. I realized a long time ago it's not the arm of the flesh that does anything that gets a hold of the heart, but it takes the Spirit of God taking the Word of God to do a work in us. And so that's what we're praying for right here today. Psalm 9 and verse 17. The Bible said, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." I want to read that again. "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." Let's pray together. Father, I thank you, Lord, today for the opportunity to be in your house. Father, thank you for the privilege to stand and to open at the Word of God. Lord, as I stand here this morning, I so desperately need you to touch me. I pray, Lord, that I'd have more than just a sermon and facts, but I pray this morning by the power of the Holy Ghost that I'd preach the message you've laid upon me. For this hour, I beg of you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, to bind the forces of the enemy. I pray, may we not be distracted, may we not be hindered in any way this morning. During the preaching today and the invitation, I pray for that that's lost. I pray the Holy Ghost will so work in their life they'd run to you and be saved. I pray for us as your people. Lord, do something for us. Lord God, help us, Lord, to have the burdens we need. For the lost, help us, Lord, in serving you and walking with you. And Lord, everything you do, we'll praise you and we'll thank you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Again, the Bible said in our verse, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." I want to preach this morning, the Lord helping me, on this subject, a place called hell. A place called hell. Someone may say, well, the preacher didn't have time to study. He's preaching something that men have preached a lot. Well, it's not because I'm not studying, but I'm preaching this morning because how the Lord spoke to my heart on Friday to preach this message. He knew who would be here. He knew who would not be here. But I believe this is the need of the day. I know it's an old-fashioned message. I considered by some. Some don't like to think about it. Some don't want to believe in it. But it still doesn't change the reality about this place that's called hell. Now, as you study the Bible, you'll find there is much said about this place called hell. Matter of fact, we know more about hell than we do heaven. As you study the Bible, you'll even find Jesus warned men more about hell than he ever spoke about heaven. Friend, he was concerned. He came to pay the sin debt of the world. Hey, friend, men, women, boys, and girls who are lost are headed to a place that's called hell today. Well, I'll look at just a few things and I'll be done and give an invitation. I'll look at some questions this morning about hell and preach to you what thus saith the Lord, what the Bible has to say. I'm going to read a lot of Scripture. I'm going to refer to a lot of Scripture. You say, well, I don't believe it. Well, I want to say this. I pray that you at least listen to what the Bible has to say. Now, if you won't take the Word of God, I'm going to be real honest, I can't help you. I wish I could help you, want to help you, but if you won't take the Bible, there ain't nothing I can do that can help you. But I want to warn some folk today about a place that's called hell and remind those of us who are saved about this place. Well, these questions, I'll look first of all at the question, why is there a hell? Why is there a place that's called hell? Can I say, first of all, in this question, there is a hell because of Satan and the fallen angels. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. Here it is, prepared for the devil and his angels. You understand? Look up here. Look at me. Forget everything else. Listen to me this morning. Hell was created because Satan and those angels fell. Hey, I want to tell you, friend, hell was not originally created for man, but for the devil. Oh, but friend, when Adam and Eve sinned and sin came into this world, sin must be dealt with. Sin must be paid for. And therefore, sinners are cast into the place that's called hell. If they die without salvation, if Jesus had come and they're left behind, friend, hell will be their home. Oh, friend, it's been worded this way, and it's so true. Man is an intruder in hell. But yet man is going there because of his sin nature. Now, I'll deal more with that man's sin in the moments ahead, but understand, a person goes to hell because of their sin nature, that they are not saved. When Adam and Eve sinned, Romans 5:12 tells us, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Romans 3:23 said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Why is there a hell today? Well, because of Satan and the fallen angels, but also because of sin this morning. Oh, we're in a day, folk don't think anything's sin. But ladies and gentlemen, people sin because they are lost. Amen. So why is there a hell? Well, because of Satan and his fallen angels and because of sin. But let me ask the second question and discuss this question. What is hell this morning? What is hell? This day that they are well educated, they have a lot of knowledge about things of this world, but they seem like fewer in our day have any knowledge about this place called hell. What is hell this morning? Well, let me start off by saying it like this, some things that hell's not. I want you to know hell is not something you raise. You hear that phrase a lot in this world. Is that right? Don't you get upset at me for preaching what they say. I'll be real honest with you, it ain't being ugly. I'm telling you, friend, it's stuff that's got to be preached. Man, they talk about that all the time. But hell is not something that you raise. Hell is not what you are living in now. I've had people say, preacher, my life is a living hell. You know nothing about hell. Amen. Hell is not a state of the mind or a situation you are living in. That is not hell. Amen. You may have a lot of problems. You may have a lot of struggles, but that's not hell. Amen. Hell is not a figure of speech. It is not a byword. Say amen. Hell is not the figment of someone's imagination. Someone didn't dream up this place called hell. Amen. God made it. It's a reality. It's a real place. Hell is not a figment of the imagination. Let me say also, hell is not a scare tactic to build a church. there are people all the time want to accuse preachers. Why? You're just trying to scare people. You're just trying to get them to come to your church and be dependent on you. Well, I want to tell you, I don't want nobody dependent on me, because I can't help you. I can't change your destiny. But I want you to meet Jesus Christ, who can change your life. Amen. Hell today is not a scare tactic. But let me say this. Hell is a place of torment. The Bible said in Luke 16 and verse 23, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. Hey, hell is not a fun place. Hell is a place of torments. Amen. Hell is also a place of fire. Luke 16 and verse 24, the latter part, this man that went to hell said this, for I am tormented in this flame. Now everybody look up here. Look up here and you hear me. He was not tormented by the flame. He was tormented in the flame. Big difference. Big difference. Yet just two little lettered words, in and by, but there's a big difference. I'm a country boy. Growing up, in the fall of every year, we'd go to my grandmother's and rake her yard, get the leaves and the sticks up, and we'd pile them in a big pile and set them on fire. And I brought sticks and leaves, have to throw on the fire, and the wind shift, and the flames come my way. But I'd get out of the way while I was being tormented by a flame. But to be in the flame, are you listening to me? Hell is not a cave and just fire on the walls. Hell is a place that you will be in the flame. You're tormented in this flame, the rich man said. He also stated to us in other places that the book of Mark chapter 9 tells us that it has fire. In Mark 9 verse 43 through 48, over and over, into the fire, over and over again. It's declaring to you and to me that there is a place called hell, and it is a place, my friend, a flame, a place of fire today. It is also a place of consciousness and feeling. The man in Luke 16 was conscious. He was not unconscious. And he could feel. Luke 16, 23, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Hey, you're conscious in hell. You can feel in hell. Are you listening to me? You'll have all your faculties, touch, taste, sight, smell, hear. You'll have them all in hell. This man we are told about in Luke 16. And by the way, Luke 16 is not a parable. And Jesus never used proper names when he gave a parable. He gave a proper name. The man that went to Abraham's bosom, his name was Lazarus. You listen to me? Hell's a place of consciousness and feeling. Hell is a place of remembrance and regret. As the man lifted his eyes in hell, he talks with Abraham. Abraham said, remember in your lifetime. Hey, you can remember in hell, and there'll be plenty of regrets in hell. Are you listening to the preacher? I'm not expecting folk to shout a lot, Dave, but I really want you to listen to me. I want you to pay close attention to everything I'm telling you. For in this place called hell, it ain't a good place. It's an awful place. Oh, there's remembrance and regret. I believe they can remember how they passed up the opportunity to get saved. You'll know it forever. You'll know every time that you hardened your heart to preaching. You remember every time you said no to Christ and when he came for salvation in your life. You'll remember, and there'll be regrets. Oh, it's a place, not only remembrance, regret, it is a place of punishment. Matthew 25 and verse 46 says, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment. Man, you know, we're in a day. Half the time they don't want anybody to pay for anything unless it's against them. You listening to me? If it's not against them, they figure everybody else is being too harsh, too mean, too ugly about punishment. But you listen to me. The same God that is love, the same God that does love you, will put you in a place of punishment if you do not receive Christ as your Savior today. Oh, it is a place of punishment. It is a place of weeping and gnashing teeth. The latter part of Matthew 25, verse 30 says, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Can I say this? My mind can hardly grasp all that I've already told you, but it's still true. It's still what the Bible says, and the Bible is still right. It is a place of weeping and gnashing teeth. It is a place of imprisonment. Luke 16, and we read there in verse number 26, the Bible said, beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from this. A person in hell is imprisoned. There can't get out. There's no parole in hell. No. Are you hearing me? No. A little while and you get out. No. It's a place of imprisonment. It's a place of darkness, according to Matthew chapter 25 and verse 30. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. It is a place of filthiness. Revelation 21:8. Such ungodliness is cast into hell. It is a place of separation. I read Luke 16:26 about that great gulf. There's a separation between those that know Christ and those that do not know Christ. Oh, friend, I'm telling you, hell's a place of separation. But let me say this. Hell's a place that's eternal. It's forever. Matthew 25, verse 41 says, cursed, depart ye, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. Mark 9 again tells us about that fire, and it says the fire shall never be quenched. It's eternal. Now, everybody, look up and hear me. You will not be annihilated in hell. You're not going to cease to exist going to hell. But it's forever. It's forever. Listen, you say, well, I was taught that you just burn up. You were taught wrong. You were lied to. Are you here? I'm saying again, you were lied to. Hell is a place of eternal suffering. It's forever. You don't get out after a while. It's not getting out for good behavior. It's not God saying, well, I didn't really mean it, and you can just come on to heaven. No, it's a place that's eternal. Oh, friend, we see what hell is. But then let me say number three. Where is hell? Where is hell this morning? Hey, these folk would say, well, preacher, I'd like to know where hell is at. Well, can I say this? And I'm going to show you in the Bible that I'm right. Hell is in the heart of the earth. It don't matter what your science teacher said. Amen. Somebody said, you've got to be able to back it up with science. Fully on your science book. The Bible said. And that's what really matters. And by the way, the Bible is the best science book. It's the most trustworthy science book. Amen. Hell is in the heart of the earth. How do you know, preacher? In Numbers chapter 16, when Korah led his rebellion and God put a stop to it. In Numbers 16, verse 32 and 33, listen to what the Bible says. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up and their houses and all the men that appertained unto Korah and all their goods, they and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. Ladies and gentlemen, hell is in the heart of the earth. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 24 said, the way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 14. Therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend in to it. Isaiah 14 and verse 9 said, hell from beneath has moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe the word of God, and I make no apologies. I don't have to prop up the Bible. I just have to believe the Bible. Amen. And the Bible said that right below your feet, just a few miles, is a place called hell. You understand how close you really are to hell today, sinner? You're closer than you ever dreamed of. Not just a breath, but just mere miles from a place called hell. We see where hell is. It's in the heart of the earth. Let me look at another question. What will not be in hell? What's not going to be in hell, preacher? Well, I want to tell you, there's no Bibles in hell. The Bible is forever settled in heaven. There's no Bibles in hell. There's no Christians in hell. I'm not going. If you're saved, you're not going. Amen. Hey, I'm careful how I say this, but folk will cuss us and tell us to go there. But I'm going to tell you, you ought to start responding, I can't. I will not. That's an impossibility. I can go anywhere in this world, but I cannot go to hell. Amen. Well, I've been saved by the grace of God, and I will not and I cannot go to hell. Amen. Hey, there's no fellowship in hell. You're not going to go down there and hang out with your friends. There's no parties in hell. There ain't nobody wanting a party. There's no love in hell. Everybody hates everybody down there. There's no pleasures in hell. There's no comfort in hell. There's no water in hell. There's no rest in hell. There's no entertainment in hell. There's no freedom in hell. There's no sports or games in hell. There's no mercy in hell. There's no pity in hell. There's no hope in hell. There's no escape from hell. Oh, friend, I'm glad I'm not going. Amen. I'm glad I'll never beg for a drop of water. Amen. I got a hold of living water one day, and God put a well down in my heart, and I'll never thirst again. Oh, yeah. Hey, let me say number five. Let's look at another thing. Who is going to hell? Who really is going to hell, preacher? I'm going to tell you, all unsaved people are going to hell. The Bible in our text said the wicked shall be turned into hell. Well, preacher, I'm not wicked. The Bible said for a man that's unsaved, he's wicked. He's vile. He's corrupt. He's void of any righteousness. He can be religious and still be lost. You hear me? Oh, listen to me. Those who are lost without God, ladies and gentlemen, one day will lift her eyes in hell, being in torment. All the unsaved. Now I'm going to read you something. I want you to hear me, because I'm telling you, it ain't religion you need, it's salvation. Now you say, y'all are religious. You go to church every week. I go to church, but it ain't because I'm religious. I'm going to church because I'm saved. I really want to be here. I don't want to be no other place this morning. I didn't get out of bed and say, well, I don't know if I really want to go today. Why? On the inside of me, since the night God saved me, there's a pull in me that brings me to the house of God. Hey, I'm glad to be in the house of God, but I'm not coming to church to be saved. I'm coming to church because I am saved. Amen. You see, Matthew chapter 7 says, verse 21 through 23, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. What is the will of the Father? Well, according a little further over, the will of God is that all would come to repentance. The will of the Father is you get saved. Amen. Can I say this? It's never been the will of God for anybody to go to hell. Amen. You go to hell, you're going to hell against the will of God. The will of God is for you to be saved. 12 goes on, verse 20. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in that name? And in that name have cast out devils. And in that name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Hey, this crowd is trusting their religion. They're trusting their works. They're trusting their deeds. But ladies and gentlemen, it's not religion. It's not deeds. And it's not water that will get you to heaven. But it is salvation in Jesus Christ that gets a man to heaven. I will say this. I hit it last week and I wouldn't have got on it, but it's in my text. I am eternally saved. Verse 23 is the strongest verse in all the Bible on eternal life. That's right. It said, I'm going to read it again. And then when I profess unto them, I never knew you. You say, I think he can lose it. What do you do with that? You say, well, whoa. He said never. And God meant never. Amen. You know what? He can't deny me. You say, you're on an ego. Oh, no. Ain't on an ego trip. I'm saved. He knows me by name. Hey, my name's in his book. Oh, yes. Hey, I'm saved, thank God. Hey, listen to me. Somebody, there's people all the time. You get preaching on hell. You get preaching on judgment. And they'll say you're just judging everybody. The only verse some people in the world know is Matthew 7:1. Judge not that you be not judged. You need to read the rest of it. Amen. Because I want you to know I'm not judging anybody. I am not. I am not the judge. But God is, and his book has judged already. You see, I love John chapter 3. Boy, ain't it a wonderful chapter. That God, with Nicodemus coming to Christ, oh, and he lets him know about the new birth. And boy, that great verse in verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever will, hey, highlight that, whosoever, amen, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But the chapter don't end there. It don't stop with verse 16. Verse 17, 18 says this, for God sent not his son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Oh, that's good. You say, well, God wouldn't condemn. He's letting you know that ain't why Christ came. But verse 18 is there. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You're condemned already because you believe not. Now this believing is more than just knowing there's a God. There's that believing in him, but there's that believing upon him. That's when you get saved. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, hey, as a condemned sinner, you're headed for this place that's called hell. And I don't want you to go there. I have never wanted anybody to go to hell. You say, preacher, I know some people pretty bad. I'm telling you, I want them to get born again. Yeah. Amen. Christ died for everybody. He tasted death for all men. As long as I'm pastor of Gateway Baptist Church, a whosoever will gospel will get preached. You can bank on that. Amen. I'm telling you, the will of God's that you be saved. But you got a choice. You'll either receive him or you'll reject him. Amen. Hey, we see who is going to hell. All unsaved people. But let me say this in closing, because there ain't no way I'd ever preach on hell not include this point. There's a way to miss hell. And I'm really glad of that. I'm glad you don't have to go to hell. But you have to go to heaven the way God said you had to go to heaven. This is not the Baptist idea. This is not a preacher's idea. But it's what the Lord said. Jesus said of himself in John 14 and verse number 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man come to the Father but by me. The only way to miss hell is through Jesus Christ. Amen. Now the world doesn't like me for preaching that. They want me to put the bumper sticker on my car, coexist. And I'm going to say something. Look at me. Look up here. I ain't against nobody. I'm not beating on nobody. But I want to tell you, things that are going in the opposite way are not going the same place. You hear me? You hear me good now? There's one way. Jesus Christ is that. You say, well, they can go through Buddha. No, they can't. And you said they'll go through Muhammad. They can't. They said they'll go through through a confessional. They can't. Jesus said, I am the way. Not a way, but the way. Amen. He made sure you knew there wasn't a half a dozen ways. Amen. Oh, friend, listen. The only way to miss hell is through Christ. Somebody said, preacher, how can I be saved then? How can I become a Christian? I will tell you. The first thing you've got to do, listen to me, is you've got to realize that you are lost. You've got to come to that realization. The Bible said this in John 16, verse 7 through 11. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world. That word reprove means to convict and to convince. It means to bring to light, to expose, to call to account. He said the Spirit of God has come to reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. You see, you'll never come to the place of knowing your loss without the Spirit of God. And somebody said, how do I know that the Spirit of God has reproved me? You know you're lost and you won't know it without him. You don't want to admit it without the Spirit of God speaking to your heart. Now, some say, well, preacher, you preach too hard on conviction. No, I'm telling you what the Bible said. I'm telling conviction will reveal to you you're lost. And it'll reveal to you that Christ is your only hope. Yeah. It'll be set on you. It won't be this, well, I might go to hell. No, you'll know you're going. And here's another thing. You understand that you deserve it. And you understand there's nothing you can do of yourself. Amen. But then let me say this. You have also got to confess and call on the Lord as well. See, the Bible said, I love this Romans chapter 10. What a great chapter. Verse 9 through 13 said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The hardest part about getting saved is you've been willing to admit you're lost and ain't a thing you can do of yourself to get to heaven on your own. But when you come to grips, I'm lost and my only hope is Christ. If you'll repent and all that, listen to me. Here's repentance. He said, Jesus said, Luke chapter 13, and he said in verse 5, except you repent, you perish. Repentance is turning from self and sin and turning to the Savior, trusting him for salvation. Are you listening to me? Because if your heart repents, you'll call and you'll confess. Amen. Somebody said, preacher, I'm afraid if I go down there and ask him to save me, he won't. Oh, he will. He will. Because I'm going to tell you, when your heart in repentance is turned to Christ, the rest of that's just going to come right in place. Amen. And he'll save you because he said he would. Amen. I've said all over country and I'll say it to you again this morning. He said he would. If I would and I didn't, he did. That's it. I'm glad that I got saved 38 years ago come this spring. And I ain't never been sorry. Amen. Hey, listen to me today. You don't want to go to hell. You don't want to. But you don't have to either. You can get saved. Now, when I was a younger preacher for all these years, 33 years of preaching, when I was younger, I'd break into singing sometimes, but I can't do that no more. It'd go sour quick. My voice would give. But I got to think about this song. Reagan Riddle from the Primitive Quartet wrote this years ago, copyrighted it in 1985. I'm going to read you the verses first, and then I'm going to read you the chorus, because that chorus, oh my soul, what a chorus. Here's what the verses say. The song's entitled, If You Fail to Reach Heaven. Listen to verse 1. If you fail to reach heaven, enjoy the sweetness of a child. In the land of darkness, you'll miss their sweet smile. If you fail to reach heaven, you better stop to smell the rose. For the place you're going, pretty flowers don't grow. Verse 2. If you fail to reach heaven, you've rejected the Son of God. How for you he suffered while on earth he trod. If you fail to reach heaven, you'll remember each time he called. When you stand in judgment and it's coming to all. But here's what I like, this chorus. Listen to this chorus. But oh, you don't have to go. Jesus died for your pardon. And friend, he loves you so. He's prepared a place in heaven where flowers ever bloom. Don't you want to go there? He's coming back soon. Hey, I'm telling you, you don't have to go. You can get saved this morning. Amen. Hey, I don't regret getting saved. I don't. I'm going to say it all the way home too. Till I get over yonder, and I'm going to say it over yonder too. Glad I'm saved. Amen. Oh, friend, today, if you're not a child of God, I urge and beg in Jesus' name to come to him and be saved before it's everlasting too late. Father, thank you for giving me freedom to preach. I've tried my best, as much failure as I've done, but yet, Lord, I've tried my best in fulfilling the message you laid on my heart to preach. Lord, I pray you'd help us now in this invitation time. I pray for those that are not saved. May this be the day, may this be the place they come to you, call upon you and be saved. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us and saving us. In Jesus' name, heads bowed and eyes closed, I've done my best to preach to you today what the Spirit of God has laid upon my heart. I'm preaching on a place called hell. We're in a day where you can go to some churches and they'll never mention anything about hell. But can I tell you this? If someone is truly saved and called of God to preach the word of God, somewhere or another in his preaching, he's going to preach on hell. And it won't be just one time in his whole ministry. It'll be multiple times. I preach on a lot of different subjects out of the Bible. But there's a time when the Holy Ghost touches my heart to just preach a whole message on a place called hell. Are you saved? Ready to meet God? Maybe someone here today, being honest with yourself, would lift a hand and say, "Preacher, I'm lost. And I know it. Pray for me today." Anybody? I see that young hand. Somebody else, "Preacher, I'm lost. I admit it. I know it." Now listen to me. Ain't nobody going to come back to your pew. Nobody going to pull on you. The Holy Ghost does all that. He's the one that spoke to your heart while you sat here. He's the one that's been revealed, "Hey, it's you. It's you that's lost." Anybody else, "Preacher, I'm not saved." Anybody else? I want us to stand this morning. We're going to sing a verse of invitation. Now, for those of us that are saved, I'm glad I'm not going to hell. But at the same time, it gives me a burden in my heart for family members that are not saved. Gives me a burden for those I meet that are not saved. Man, we don't need to give up praying and witnessing. People all around us need Christ. Don't hide the light of the gospel. Let that light shine. Let folk know about Christ. While we sing, this altar's open.